Okay, so I'll repeat that one more time for the recording. So what we're working on today is empathic listening. And in effect, the most important first step we can take in our own spiritual evolution is to begin to listen to our own story with a little bit of distance. And the best way to do that is to listen to someone else's story, because we already have a little bit of distance. It's not our story. Even if it activates our story, it's not our story. And so in a sense, the practice of empathic listening is profoundly selfish. We're working on getting distance from our own story. You could look at it that way. I told my husband that this morning, and he laughed, and he said, oh yeah, it's just like the Buddhist Bodhisattva. Uh-huh. They have compassion for other people in order to increase their own spiritual merit. And it really is true that that practice actually is very useful in our own spiritual evolution. I have a quote from an incredible woman named Simone Weil, who lived in France during World War II. She writes, "The love of our neighbor in all its fullness simply means being able to say, what are you going through? To truly love our neighbor, it's indispensable to learn how to look at them in a certain way. This way of looking is first of all attentive. The soul empties itself of all its own content in order to receive into itself the being it is looking at, just as he or she is in all their truth." So we're listening in silence in order to receive who someone is, exactly as they are, in all their truth, so that we can do the same for ourselves, so that we can lean in and listen to who and what we are in all our truth, exactly as we are. My training in empathic listening was really deeply activated when I was a chaplain at a hospital in San Francisco in 2002. I worked as a chaplain in the California Pacific Medical Center in San Francisco. And from the very first day, I was exposed to such deep human suffering, things that I had never encountered before. A man who, a trucker, who had been working on his truck and the brake broke, and he was scooped up into the wheel well and lost all the flesh on the back of his body, and then was suspended in midair for months while they tried to graft skin and muscle back onto his body. A woman who had lost the use of her legs and didn't want to live. A young couple who went into the birthing room totally healthy and then lost their baby at birth. And the very first day, in fact, the very first hour, I walked into a room where a man lay dying. And I sat with a total stranger, an African-American man from Alabama, as he sat with his uncle while he died. Being thrown into these situations made me encounter and develop this way of being present to suffering, to the suffering of other people, that then completely changed the way in which I was present to my own suffering. It's not that my suffering went away. It's that my relationship to my own suffering began to change. I want to read you a quote from the journal that I kept when I was a chaplain. And it records my learning curve around listening with a silent mind. I wrote, "When I'm working with patients and their families, I can respect them and the stories that they carry by listening with a silent mind. This doesn't mean not having thoughts or feelings. It means that I step back into the silence behind my thoughts and feelings. It means observing myself as well as the person that I'm listening to. It means always offering respect and compassion rather than advice or guidance. In this way, I create space for the wisdom and healing that we both seek without any expectation or demand about how that healing might arise. What I began to learn was that if I was willing to be fully present to the suffering of another human being, they might also be willing to be present to their own suffering without needing to push it away. And I began to see that my job was simply to be willing to be in the presence of suffering so that that person would not have to face their suffering alone. When we share our stories with each other, we're actually putting into practice two key teachings of the tradition that I belong to. And the first is to see divinity in ourselves, to recognize that no matter what we think or feel, there is within us a core spark of sacredness, of divinity. And the second really important twin piece of this is to see that divinity in the other person. No matter what's coming up, underneath all those thoughts and feelings and judgments and actions, there's a core spark of divinity. When we practice empathic listening, what's most important is not what we do, but what we don't do. That really where we need to start is by not doing certain things and then slowly learning what we should do. So above all, what we don't do is we don't run away from the suffering of the other person. We don't run away on the inside. We don't run away on the outside. And that leads to a second corollary. We don't fix it, because fixing it is just a way of running away. We may, at the end of the day, have some helpful advice, but it better be pretty close to the end of the day and not the beginning. The other important thing we don't do is we don't judge. We don't judge them, and we don't judge ourselves for whatever feelings come up while they speak. Here's another real key one. We make the commitment before we even begin to listen that we are not going to use what they say for our own benefit. We're going to respect their confidentiality, because whenever we tell someone else's story, it's almost always to have or meet some goal in ourselves. And so we're actually using someone else's suffering for our own benefit. So we make that commitment from the beginning. So when we practice empathic listening, what's most important is not what we say, right? When we're listening, it's not about what we say. But it's about cultivating an inner attitude. An inner attitude within ourselves of open-hearted receptivity and compassion. And I'd just like to point out that an inner attitude of open-hearted receptivity and compassion is actually the goal of most forms of spiritual practice. So when we practice empathic listening, we are actually creating space for our own enlightened self to step into being. We are working on our own enlightenment, our own cultivation of wisdom, simply by creating space for someone else's suffering. And if we practice that with respect to someone else's suffering, we will learn how to do it with respect to our own. And our enlightened self will step in and fulfill that role within us. So to that end, we're going to again work with a story. So I'd like to ask everybody to take a comfortable posture and go within, but with your pen and paper nearby, because we'll write in a minute. But for right now, first we're going to create the intention to make room in our being for big heart, big wisdom. We're going to just imagine creating an open space within our own being where big heart and big wisdom can step in. And now we're going to invite whatever story big heart or big wisdom would like to work with to step into that space. It might be the story you've been working with this month. It might be a story that expresses a pattern from the past. In any case, make sure that it's a story that you're willing to share with the other people present in this room. So allow big heart, big wisdom to call in a story. And now take your pen and your paper and just in three or four sentences, write the simple, short version of your story.